I greet you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. And each time I hear that song, I'm reminded of a book that I read several years ago by John R.W. Stott entitled The Cross of Christ. And in that book, he quotes Horatius Bonner, who was speaking about his own voice and remembering his own voice around the throngs that mocked the Christ. And Bonner says, "'Twas I that shed the sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery. Of all that shouting multitude, I feel that I was one. And in a din of voices rude, I recognize my own. Around the cross, the throngs I see mocking the sufferer's groan. Yet still my voice, it seems to be as if I mocked alone." Whenever we think about the death of deaths, you should see yourself. You shouldn't be thinking specifically about your neighbor and the sins of your neighbor. But you should see yourself mocking the sufferer's groan. And yet and still, Jesus Christ, who looks through the telescope of time, has the audacity, the mitigated gall as a result of his love for us, to say, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." His grace is amazing. It's past finding out. And it'll take us eternity to truly comprehend it. It's an amazing day for us to celebrate the graduates of the 2026 class. I'm grateful on behalf of Dr. Creamer to say to our graduates and the families who are here, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your commitment to the cross of Christ. Thank you for your commitment to your studies and making it to this point, provided you pass your exams and turn in all of your papers in the next 4 weeks, amen. But we're really glad to celebrate with you today, and I'm grateful for the privilege of serving alongside my colleagues who are here and the staff here at Criswell College. As we announce the graduates, as your name is called, please stand, and I also encourage your family and friends and supporters to stand alongside you as well. The first person is Daisy Areola, BA Psychology. Daisy plans to begin working at a sheriff's department as a detention center officer. Daisy hopes to continue her education at East Texas A&M University to pursue an MS in applied criminology and enroll in the Police Academy in Commerce. Daisy will continue her role as an events and outreach leader at her church in Quinion. Jovan Kuhn. BA Biblical Studies. Recipient of the BA Biblical Studies Honors Award and the Criswell College Preaching Award. Plans to serve as a classical school teacher while pursuing graduate studies at the University of Dallas. Dioseline Correa Ojeda, yeah. BS Education. Plans to return to Costa Rica, where she will be teaching at the elementary level. Meadow Ellis, BA Psychology, recipient of the BA Psychology Honors Award, plans to pursue an MS in forensic psychology. Naomi Rose Everhart, BA Biblical Studies, recipient of the Lamar E. Cooper Senior Hebrew Language Award, plans to pursue a master's/PhD in social sciences, specializing in human flourishing. Dayanara Fernandez. BA Christian Ministries, recipient of the BA Christian Ministry Honors Award, plans to serve as a missionary wherever the Lord leads, whether in the U.S. or internationally. Crystal M. Jimenez, BA Psychology, plans to pursue a master's in counseling and, by God's grace, become a licensed professional counselor. She hopes to work with people, bringing compassion and understanding, and of course, a little humor, sharing his love in all she does. Sui Taya Lynn Molaiksoy. B.A. Christian Ministry. Mariah Mayville, BA Psychology, plans to further education at DBU, pursuing an MA in counseling and education. Gail Linmore Miller, BA Psychology, plans to be a chaplain. Adrian Norris, BA Biblical Studies, recipient of the H. Leroy Metz Greek Language Award and the W.A. Criswell Outstanding Bachelor's Graduate Award. Adrian, plans are still a work in progress. I like that. So are mine, Adrian. Jackie Spencer, MDiv. Roy Suarez, MA Christian Leadership. Amen. I'd like to invite Dr. Keyser up to the pulpit.
Professor's job is inevitably to wear many hats, an instructor, grader, encourager, et cetera, et cetera. Yet today's speaker and I have joked over the years that we've each worn an inordinate number of hats in our relationship. I've been Jovan's professor for intro classes and his capstone class. I've been a spiritual dialogue partner where we've prayed together, cried together, and reminded one another that our lives are hidden with Christ and God. I fit fungo to him and taught him how to kind of sort of throw a spiral and use chopsticks. But he's also worn multiple hats in our relationships also. He has been that honest student that mediates for the rest of the class when they won't tell me what they really think, but he will. He's done TA work for me, and he's probably done more of my dishes than nearly anyone else. I'm open to other candidates, though, in the future. Yet Jovan wears one hat that is probably more theologically important than the rest. That is friend. Like Jesus, who calls us friend, Jovan has fostered friendship across campus and laid down his life for his friends. Jovan has cared so well for so many people that basically everyone considers Jovan their friend. He's been formed in the wisdom of Proverbs, which talks about the friend that sticks closer than a brother. So as he graduates, I'll gladly throw out several of those professorial hats, but I hope I get to keep at least one. So would you welcome Jovan Kuhn, my friend.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Dr. Keyser, for the introduction. I really appreciate it. It was very kind. Like the introduction said, my name is Jovan Kuhn, to those of you who don't know me. I am a senior here at Criswell College in the Biblical Studies program. And in about a month or so, I will be an alumni of Criswell College. And that is the reality of a lot of people in this room. Soon, we will walk across the stage, and our time here will come to an end. Graduation is a moment that we all look forward to. It marks the end of a long season, years of hard work, effort, and perseverance. But it also reminds us of something deeper, and it's that finishing matters. There's an Olympic runner by the name of Louis Zamperini, who later became a prisoner of war. As a runner, he understood something about endurance. He knew what it meant to push through pain because he had his eyes set on something ahead, the finish line. And in his case, the medal, the reward. One of his quotes is, "A moment of pain is worth a lifetime of glory." Because for him, the pain had a purpose. It was leading somewhere. In a way, this is like graduation, except instead of running, you're staying up late studying. And instead of a shiny medal, you get a degree, which is cool, I guess. But in a much deeper way, this is how the Christian life works. We endure, we press on, not because the race is easy, but because we know where it ends. And graduation reminds us that we may be finishing a season, but the race is still going. We're still in the race. So the question is, what does it look like to finish well? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Where is it? There we are. Paul writes this, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." The word of the Lord. Paul writes these words at the very end of his life. This is not abstract for him. This is a reflection, meaning Paul isn't speculating about what it looks like to follow Christ. He has lived it, and he's now reflecting on it. This is the voice of a man who knows he's about to die. He says, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Paul understands his life as a sacrifice, not wasted, not accidental, but intentionally poured out for Christ. Every hardship, every imprisonment, every act of obedience, it was all part of that offering. Then he says three things that define what it means to finish well. And in the Greek, these statements come with a clear and steady rhythm, almost like three final declarations. The good fight, I have fought. The race, I have finished. The faith, I have kept. Each one is deliberate. Each one is complete. And together, they emphasize one simple reality. Paul has reached the end. I have fought the good fight. Paul sees his life as a struggle, but not just any struggle. It's the good fight. This is the very thing that he had once commanded Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. What Paul called Timothy to do, he himself has done. Like an athlete in a contest, he has given himself fully, not fighting for comfort, reputation, or ease, but striving with endurance and resolve for faithfulness to Christ. I have finished the race. Now the image sharpens. This is not just a struggle. It is a race. Paul is looking back on the course of his life. Every step, every hardship, every moment of perseverance. And he's not saying he ran perfectly. He's saying he finished. He endured to the end. He completed the course set before him. I have kept the faith. At the center of it all is this, faithfulness. Paul has held fast to both to Christ himself and to the gospel entrusted to him. He did not drift. He did not distort the message. He remained loyal to the end. And all three together give us a picture of sanctification over a lifetime. Not perfection, but perseverance. Not ease, but endurance. Not arrival, but faithfulness. This is what it means to finish well. Then in verse 8, Paul lifts his eyes from the past to the future. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. In other words, the race is over. The fight is finished. And now all that remains is what comes next. Paul reaches for the image of a crown, like an athlete who has finished the contest. The prize is already set aside, waiting for him. And notice the certainty in his words. There is laid up for me. Not maybe, not I hope so, but a settled confidence. The reward is already prepared. He calls it the crown of righteousness. This is not just a reward for effort. It is the fullness of what God has been working in him all along. Throughout his life, God has been making Paul righteous, shaping him, sanctifying him, conforming him to Christ. And in that final day, that work will be complete. This is glorification, the final stage of the process of salvation. What has been growing slowly over a lifetime will be brought to completion in a moment. Paul will stand fully and finally righteous before God. Not partially, not imperfectly, but completely. And he says this will happen on that day. That is the day of final judgment. And the one who gives the crown is the Lord, the righteous judge. The same Christ whom Paul has trusted, served, and followed will be the one who evaluates his life and gives the reward. Which means this is not an empty hope. It is a just verdict. God will not overlook faithfulness. He will not forget perseverance. He will rightly and perfectly bring his work to completion. Then Paul widens the promise, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This is not just about Paul. This is the destiny of every believer. Those who long for Christ's return, who live with their eyes fixed on that day, will share in the same reward. Because the Christian life is always lived forward, we fight, we run, we endure, looking ahead to the day when faith becomes sight and when sanctification becomes glorification. This is the point where salvation and eternity meet, the full and final vindication of the believer. As Paul says, for we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. And even now, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. It's the eschatological dualism that Adrian mentioned last week and that the great Dr. Moore teaches about in New Testament theology. What is happening now in part will be complete then in full. But for us to finish a race, it needs to begin. Our race begins at where Christ declared, "It is finished." Turn with me to John chapter 19, starting in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill Scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word of the Lord. At the very end of his life, Jesus cries out, "It is finished." In the Greek, this is one word. And the lexical form of that word is teleo, which means to complete. But the form here that John uses is tetelestai. And Greek scholars in the room You can hear the reduplication at the beginning of that verb, as well as the ending. The lexical form is teleo. The verb that John uses is tetelestai, which means what? That the tense of the verb is perfect. Why does that matter? Because the perfect tense in Greek isn't just about something completed in the past. It's about something completed with results that continue into the present. It means not only that it has been finished, but that it remains finished. Nothing needs to be added. Nothing needs to be repeated. At the cross, Jesus completed redemption completely. That's what the perfect tense verb is communicating to us. Past, present, future, it is finished. It's not a cry of defeat. It's a declaration of victory. Jesus is not saying, I am finished. He is saying, my work is finished. Everything the Father sent him to do, every prophecy fulfilled, every act of obedience completed, every sin accounted for, finished. This is the victory of the victim. In the moment of greatest suffering, Jesus defeats sin, death, and darkness, not in spite of the cross, but through it. This is where our race begins. Because we do not run to earn salvation. We run because salvation has already been accomplished. We do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. We do not strive to finish what Christ started. We live in light of what he has already finished. We are running, fighting, keeping, not to earn justification. We're not running, fighting, keeping out of fear that it might be lost. Like God loves us more on our good days and less on our bad ones. No. Our justification is already complete in Christ. We run, fight, and keep because Jesus already finished what we could not at the cross. But our sanctification is ongoing. We endure, we preserve, we press on, because our race is not about earning, it's about running to the finish. Not justification, but glorification. And one day, that finish line will be ours. When we see Christ face to face, when faith becomes sight, and when sanctification becomes glorification. There was a moment last week when I realized that the fundamental things of my life will all be different in a couple months. I'll live somewhere different. I'll go to a different school. I'll work somewhere different. So much will change. And this is the reality of a lot of people graduating. And actually, this is the reality of almost everyone. At the end of the semester, things will change. Life will look different. Maybe you're getting a new job. Maybe you're teaching different classes. Maybe your friend isn't coming back. Maybe you're not coming back. Relationships are constantly changing. Some are ending. Some are growing deeper. We all will experience some kind of change in the coming months. But I found comfort knowing that in the midst of all this change, we serve a God who isn't changing. And the race of sanctification isn't changing. The path may shift, but the purpose never does. The same call to follow Christ, to endure, and to be made like him remains. So my plea to you, run. Keep running. But run knowing that Christ finished the most important thing about our lives, the cross. He saved us. So now we run. Not to be saved, but out of already being saved. And the terrain of the run might change, and the people we're running with might change. But the goal will remain the same. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Like Louis Zamperini said, a moment of pain is worth a lifetime of glory. And if that is true for a race that ends with a medal, how much more for a race that ends with glory in Christ? Graduates, today we celebrate the end of a season, a milestone reached. Well, almost reached. We're so close. But remember, the race continues. We press on because Jesus has finished the ultimate race for us. And one day, all our running, fighting, and keeping will be complete in him. Complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Complete in thee, no more shall sin, thy grace hath conquered reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Pray with me. Father, thank you for everything that your Son finished at the cross that we could not. Forgive us for often trying to finish what Jesus has already finished. And strengthen us to run like Paul and to fight like Paul and to finish like Paul. All in light of what your Son already finished for us at the cross. Strengthen the graduates to finish strong. Strengthen the freshmen to endure to the end. Strengthen all of us as we run the race of sanctification, looking to glorification when we get to see you, Christ, face to face. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Amen. Thank you for that good word. Thank you for that good word. Friends, we want to make sure we pray over our graduates. So if all of our graduates could stand and then just spread out across the room. And if you find a graduate, just pick a graduate. Pray over that graduate. Pray that they would run to win the prize. And pray that their faith will not fail. Amen. So if you're a graduate, we want you to stand up and just spread out across the room, and then others pray for them as well. Find someone to pray for. Praise God. That means you.